Well, anyway, thank you for coming to the conference. I believe that this is a divine appointment. This is Gideon, in case you don't know Gideon. We adopted him last night and his friend, Jeremy. So they stayed with us last night. They're in visiting from Ohio just to come and be with us, to partake with us. And I have the opportunity this morning to stand before you and talk on belief. I don't know anybody that feels like they're prepared to stand up and talk on belief and faith. And I guarantee you, I had to have a total workover, even from January when I spoke on this before. I don't usually ever speak the same word twice. I'm not allowed. So you get something fresh this morning, you get something new, and what he wants to do is talk about the hurts and the pains, and I'm sorry I may cry. There are some tissues up here. He wants me to tell you that we don't have it all together all the time, and you already know that because you don't have it all together, right? He wants me to tell you that his favorite thing to do is take the brokenness and restore it into him, which is where we're placed in Christ. We are placed in Christ. There's two things that happen. When you're saved, you are placed into Christ. We accept all the grace and mercy that he offered for us, and so now we are empowered to change. We are empowered to do the things that we could not do as a human. We could not be perfecting ourselves and making ourselves better, but the Holy Spirit empowers us. So we are placed in him, in the eyes of Christ. And then a second part of that's another verse that says, then Christ is in us. And they are two different things. They're two different things. You get one at salvation where you are placed in Christ, and Daddy looks at you and he says, you are deeply loved. You are absolutely forgiven. You are God's masterpiece. You are chosen and set apart, and you are in Christ. And that's why I'm giving this to Gideon today. I just met him last night, but that's what he wants to tell you. He wants to tell you, you are chosen. You are set apart. This is a divine hour. This is a divine place for each and every one of us here today, me included. I had to have a whole rehaul when it came to this belief thing, because he wanted to set me up. I always thought that believing and faith was the same thing. I don't know if you were like that. I thought, well, belief and faith, they're the same. They're not the same. Daddy had to teach me. Belief is something that we decide to do. That is really our choice. That is our choice that we decide to do. And even though faith is decided to do, belief is very important because it comes from the inward man. Belief is different. Belief is the inward spirit that has to come first. When he says, believe upon me, and I don't know if you guys read the scripture, but I'm going to be talking. Nancy wanted me to pull up Mark 9:19 through 22, but I want to start at 14. And so the difference in faith and belief is belief has to start inwardly. Our spirit man is supposed to be in control. We always think logically. We always think, you know, what should I do? Can I tell you that that's not who is supposed to be in control? We are supposed to submit first and get our mind is good, logical thought is good, but that comes secondary. That's secondary. So the belief has to come through here. And when Jesus was speaking, I'm going to put this in perspective, this Mark 9, you got to understand that when this story went down, there is Jesus, he's on the Mount of Olives, there's the Transfiguration, wonders upon wonders, all the disciples are amazed, and it's just an amazing time. Matter of fact, they just wanted to camp out there, they wanted to stay there, because it was so awesome, it was so good. And then they come down off the mountain, and here comes a father with a child. The word says demon-possessed. We call it issues today. Issues. So here comes a man who is desperate because he loves this child so much, and there's things happening to this child that he can no longer control or fix as a human. How many has been there with loved ones that you can't fix, and your heart is pouring out because you can't fix? fix it for them? I mean, all of us know what this felt like, right? This session is very hard for me because we're missing somebody. We're missing my brother who was here last year. And so when he began to open the story for me and give me the heart, he had to total rehaul and change my perspective in this situation. Because I always had, you know, compassion for that father, but he wanted to teach me how important belief was for that father. Because when we read these scriptures and the father came, the first thing he said to them, "Hey, I came to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything." He told on the disciples. But he was so desperate, and he knew that Jesus had something that he did not have. He had that belief. He had that faith. He had that trust that Jesus had something that he did not have. So he poured through the crowd, and after everybody was talking and all the things, and the disciples were embarrassed in the story, then Jesus says, How long shall I put up with you? And I'm just thinking as I'm reading this, I felt like the scene, and forgive me a little bit, but I'm a 70s girl, the scene in Star Wars where Yoda's teaching, you know, and he goes, "Oh, Padawan, how long?" And he's talking to him, and he's trying to teach him about faith, and it was just like, there is no try. There's do. You do or you do not, but there is no try. And so that's how it is in the spiritual realm. Honestly, yes, we practice. Yes, we don't get everything right the first time. But when it comes to spiritual things and kingdom things and belief things, it is either do or do not. And there's the difference of belief and faith. We believe in Christ. We believe, but even demons believe. Now, the difference of stepping from belief to faith is that faith comes with actions. Faith is actually an action. So belief is inward. It comes from the Spirit of God. You then, when you hear the voice and you wait upon that voice, then it turns into faith. And you cannot have faith without actions. And this is where people falter. We had that name and claim it period of time of teaching, which was good in its own right, but we got stalled out there somewhere, and we thought that our thoughts made things different and our words made things different. And really what it means is that basically we have to go to the Father to find out what we're supposed to do. And 9 times out of 10, he does not tell us clearly. He does not show us everything all at once. He will tell you to go to a street corner at a such and such time. You don't know why. He told Abraham just to go, and here's Abraham, who knows, going, taking his whole family. You know, when you talk about moving from belief to faith, it's the action actually that moves you into it. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. There is this father coming with compassion. And he's saying, "I don't know what to do. I can't fix my son. If you can. And Jesus says, there is no if. Not with Daddy. There is no if. If you would only believe, all things are possible for them who believe. What he was telling that father is, it only takes a tiny bit of belief. It is concentrated. It is powerful. It grows within you. If you would only have just the faith of a mustard seed, it would grow into this humongous bush and be healing to many. So even a concentrated, tiny, tiny time frame with Jesus will grow into a massive thing, but it requires the next step, which is faith and walking into it. And so he says, bring the son to me. And I don't know if anybody have ever read this scripture lately, but when they brought him to him, that son was not healed immediately. Matter of fact, it said within an hour. And it also said he did a fit a second time, if you read it. So things don't always happen instantaneously with God, but they do happen. And Jesus knew that in order for him to minister to this father and this child, he had to go to the father first. He had to have that direct line of communication. There was no logic thinking at that point. It was direct communication with the father and what to do. And we don't know what all went down. All we know is that he was lashing and going into fits, and it took about an hour. Said within an hour he was healed. Sozo is actually the name in Greek. It means saved, sanctified, and healed. Okay? So when you're dealing with things like that are very real to you, that you know that you're the person that is actually has the compassion, and things that you're bringing to God, you have to have your instructions from him first of exactly what you do, the anointing that you carry. Even if it's only partial, just do that partial. Just do the partial. And so when I going back to the hurt, like I said, I lost my brother. And this is the third brother that I buried. And I said, Daddy, I did not want to bury another brother. He was supposed to teach with me in my dream conferences, Joy. He was supposed to go with us. I felt robbed. I felt like I missed something. But we did get... Don't ever think you got everything figured out in the spirit. There are broken hearts and there are broken times. And you have to stand back and you have to take another perspective, because you are not what it's all about. You know, I didn't want to bury him, no. But David got 2.5 years of repentance and walk. And he got to teach, because he was called to be a preacher when he was young, but he walked away from that calling. But he got it for those 2 years. We had people like Joy and Pastor who brought him in and allowed him to speak in their church, you know, and allowed him to talk. It was a second chance for my brother. And I'm not saying that cancer is from God. Don't ever hear that. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying God can use any situation, any issue that he wants to do, and he perfects it the way that he wants to perfect it. And we don't have all the answers, and we can't fix it sometimes. And that brokenness is real, but he can take that broken person and he can make him amazing and a great faith walk. And so, yeah, we feel like we got a hole in our heart right now. We feel like there's a hole, but I tell you what, he's dancing. He's happy. The perspective is that, you know, if I can just take my eyes off of here just for a second and rejoice with him and really understand that he's in a better place and his life was changed, it was healed, and he was taken on. And he leaves us, of course, but we have the memories and we have the things. So in all aspects, faith and belief. We went through a time frame with him. They basically told him that when we first found out, he only had a few months to live. Those few months turned into 2.5 years, and we're very thankful for that. But the whole point is, just do what God is telling you to do. Just do what God is telling you to do. When the disciples came to them in a repentant state after the boy was healed, they said, Jesus, why couldn't we? Why couldn't we? And he said, because sometimes these things only come out through prayer and fasting. Can I simplify that verse a little bit? That prayer and fasting, we make it way too hard sometimes. We think it's actions that we do. It's not anything. I mean, yes, there might be fasting to go in with it. There's times that I fast for long periods at a time. You know, if the Spirit tells me to, you betcha. It's not fun, but there's times that I do. But he said what it really means is these things only come out through prayer and fasting, is that if you don't know the heart of the Father and what Daddy's intentions is for that situation, you can't move on. So the belief is imperative. That time frame with God, that time frame that you go and you spend with the Lord, and that time frame that you get that new perspective of what's happening, and just turn everything into precious time, precious time, precious time. Be thankful for everything that you have. Don't waste it. Just do what you're told to do. And if the things that happen that is out of your hand does not happen like you have foreseen, then it doesn't matter because you did what you were told to do. You, when it comes to believing for other people's lives, when it comes to believing for anything other than ourselves, that is between them and God. And you have to allow them to do whatever avenue and way that they take. So you can believe, you can pray, you can fast, and then Daddy deals with that heart issue because he's dealing with not just you, he's dealing with other people. So keep that in mind. Only do what God told you to do in that situation. So what he wants, what I think that when he was talking to the father and he said, if I, you know, we most of us read it like he was berating the father, but I don't think that Jesus was berating the father. He was trying to teach them that it only needed, you have to have the belief first. It has to come from the inward man first. It has to, that inward man has to get control of this first. You cannot fix a problem of doubt and unbelief by dwelling on doubt and unbelief. I mean, it would be like going to that corner over there and just saying, gloom, despair, and agony on me, and just dwelling in that position. That is not how you fix a problem, by dwelling on the problem. That's part of the issues that we have. We want to stay in the same situation. We have that hurtness in our life. We have that problem in our life. We can only think about those issues. But Daddy says you can't fix it by staying in the negative. You have to fix it by moving into the positive. You have to fix it by going into the belief state. So please come closer. You know, come closer to Father. Come closer to me. Let the Word of God build faith in you. Faith comes by hearing. You can't get it any other way. And hearing by the Word of God. You have to hear the voice of God, whether you hear by your heart, whether you hear by your gut feeling, whether you hear by your ears, whether you hear by your visions, whether you hear by your dreams, whether you hear just from a moving or a feeling. And some of us understand that. He talks to us, each and every one of us, differently. But that is very important. We have to start there. You have to go to the positive side. Allow the Lord to change your perspective. And what I found is the easiest for me is I just start. You'll notice all these signs that's around here. It's be thankful. You know, a thankful heart. Rejoice. I mean, how many times have people told you to praise, but you can't praise unless you really got a thankful heart. You can't move into that praise. You can't move into that position for the Lord to change that ugliness that, you know, has started to dwell within you. You can't move into that until you actually sit down and start counting your blessings, to count your blessings. And so the secret is count the blessings that you have. Rest on that. Count that blessing that you have. Rest on that. Rejoice in the things you have. Rejoice in the time frames that you do have. And let the Lord change your perspective on the rest. So that is, I feel, the secret of moving into belief and moving into faith. And so we come to him, we learn about what he wants to do, and we begin to walk in it. There is a light and a darkness now in action. Because when you get a word from God, do you think that there's not going to be any opposition? How many know there's opposition? How many know how important it is that you get that word from God? There will always be opposition on the other thing almost immediately. Almost immediately. And unless your belief with the Lord that he's given you through the Word of God, through the hearing ear, through the teaching, through the Spirit, unless that is set in place first, you can't move into that faith walk. You can't move into that faith walk because you're stirred already. Then you got the double-minded person. Oh, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. No, stay in that, I believe. Whatever word that God has made rhema from the written word or from the word spoken directly to your heart, Dan, you have to stand on that one word. You have to stand. So I'm asking you today, what promise has God spoken to you? What promise has God is he speaking to you right now? Because something brought you here today, and it wasn't D. Jones. It was the Spirit of the Lord that brought a whole team, because he wants this area to break out completely out of their shell. He wants you to break out of your shell. So he's wanting me to remind you, what is that word? What is that promise? Because, see, we can come to these workshops, but the good thing about the workshops is that you can't say that you didn't know, because she will highlight whatever Daddy's saying in you, and you feel like the Lord is speaking directly to you. And all the other team does the same thing, because she's a good mentor and she's teaching us well. And so what is it that the Lord's promise that you are standing on today? I just want you to take maybe 15 seconds and think about that. It's going to feel like a long time. We're going to be kind of quiet here. 15 seconds. What is Daddy breathing into you? What was the last promise that he made to your heart? What is it that you're standing on? What is it that he's breathing? And I want you to take a deep breath and breathe him in again, and exhale, and breathe him in again. Just stay right there. Some of the key elements that we always need to keep in mind and in the forefront of our thinking, that there is always two kingdoms at work, and it's our choice which one we're listening to. This is why belief in that concentrated form is so imperative. There's always two kingdoms at work. There's two battles over every issue, over every issue. How many times have you seen people come in, get a word, be blessed by it, and go home and be the same person that they were 10 hours later? This is the two battles at work. You got the kingdom of God that comes in and gives the changing word, and then the battle starts. So there is a battle to get free, and there's a battle to stay free. And every good general out there knows that it's a different battle. So you get free by the word of the God, by the word of the Lord. And you stay free, how? How do we stay free? By believing and having faith. That was a very good answer. And you stay free by believing and having faith. You stay free by quoting that promise that just came to your heart, that promise that God has made to you, that promise of who you are, that promise of where he's going to take you as a couple, that promise of where you're going to go in ministry. You stand on that, and you stay in that, and you let the Lord take you deeper in that, and it's okay to dream. And it's okay to imagine, because guess what? Daddy's in that imagination. And he wants you to go ahead. He says, go ahead. Go ahead. Think about it, because what I'm going to do is even far greater than what you think or you imagine or what you even perceive. That's the word of him. He always gives us more than even what we think that is coming. So in one expectation, it's not about us. The belief really isn't about us. It always comes from the Lord. We have to go back. We have to go back. We have to go back. We have to stand on that promise, and we have to breathe him in all the time, over and over and over again, and begin to walk in that mode. And we walk in that mode, and we walk in that mode. And if you're believing for somebody else, you can believe for a time for them, and they will get set free for a time. But then Daddy makes it their decision, and he has to deal with that heart. So just keep in mind, when you're in ministry, it's one thing when you're the one that can make the decisions for you. It's another thing when they have to make the decisions for their own and know when to let go. So that belief, you have to just keep going back to, and you still stand in it, and you still believe in it. And the outcome may not be what you had chosen, but that's what freedom of choice is. That was his plan from the very beginning. You can't control what other people do. You can't help them when they're not ready to be helped. But what you can do is stand in the faith walk that you have. Not be shaken, not be stirred when you do have to face those hard, difficult situations. And there's some of you in here that need healing. You know, I'm thinking about Evelyn over there right now and Joy sitting in the chair here and my mom and my dad over here. You know, they need us to help support them in this faith walk that they've got to walk into. So don't ever leave a person alone just because you don't see immediate healing in their life. Don't ever leave them alone. And if daddy tells you to go spend time with them every day and lay on their bedroom floor, then you go lay on their bedroom floor. It's no big deal. And watch how daddy moves, because he does move and he does speak to our hearts. And our body starts complying. Our body gets in alignment. And our body stands up again when we want to give up. You know, our body does that. It comes under submission of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to be careful. Don't leave them alone, even though it's their choice. We have to love them through. And so when you don't see every result, just do what you get told to do. I'm referring to a time frame when I had a dream. We did a dream conference in church, and during that dream conference, I had a dream that was so profound that I had to go spend time with Joy, because she was crying out for healing. And she, trust me, she knows the scripture. She knows everything to do. She knows the right stuff. She knows about rejoicing. She knows about praying. She knows about standing in the gap. She knows how to humble herself and have people come to her and even pray for her, even when she's in such pain she can't stand up or she can't move or go like she wants to go, because she's a goer. She's in ministry, and so it's very difficult for her to sit and rest. But the word was sit and rest, right? Lord, am I not resting? Well, apparently not the rest that daddy had in mind. So it had to be a rehaul. And I was honored. I was honored because I was told, because I saw the relationship in my dream, I saw it unfold. And I saw how daddy showed us both of our houses. And they were so different, but they were so beautiful, both of them. And how I was invited into her house, basically, in my dream. And she invited me into the private place. It was like a sanctuary of her private area. And that's very, you have to be, trust me, we've all learned not to trust. You know, and it's very difficult to invite somebody into that situation. But daddy is still at work. He's still moving. And I saw somebody who was in horrible, horrible pain. And we had another episode the other day, I understand. But he's not done. We're taking cartilages, and cartilages are coming back. And cartilages are being formed. And we need the same prayer for Evelyn. Evelyn is up there clear up in Alaska. And she's having the same difficulty, the same thing that you're going through. I mean, there's so much similarity. And so it's just so frustrating. And she knows what to do. And she knows how to stand. And it's not anything that she's doing wrong. It's just what she's doing right. It's because of the battle of the darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was already at war, and so it begins to attack the body. So now we have to go back to daddy and ask what and if. And here's the difference. You just can't believe. She had to do something. She had to do something. Daddy gave her specifics of what she was supposed to do, and she went, and it wasn't good for her. She had to drive out of town. You know, she had to keep going out of town. And so she's still walking in that faith walk. She's still moving in that faith walk. So not always do we have immediate things the way we think we should have immediate things. That faith walk, especially in the mature vessel, literally has to be a faith walk. Has anybody figured that out now in your Christian walk? That if you're the mature you get, you don't get the instant things like you used to get. Do you know why you don't get the instant things like you used to get? Because he's maturing you. He's maturing you into something bigger and better and more power. When she threw up that scripture and she says, I'm not the same person, she really meant it. I'm not the same person. And I'm back there saying, you're better. You have went through these last few years. Since we've been invited on the team, I let her share it, you know. She has went through innumerable things with her family, just torn apart, literally murdered, and her body unto death crying out. But The faith walk was not instantaneous. She had to get up and get up and get up and get up and get up. And so that's what it is. Surround yourself with people who love you. Surround yourself with people who love the Lord. Don't ever get in that corner singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Ever, ever, ever. It's dangerous. You can't afford to have one thought in your head that is not a godly thought. You can't afford, especially you people in ministry, you can't afford to have one thought, because you're imperative. You're imperative, Liz, to this team. You're imperative, Debbie, to this team. You're imperative, Lisa. You're imperative. Every one of you are imperative. And so you can't afford to go there for any situation. And we know we all have issues. We all have issues. It's a constant battle. It's a constant walk. And so the other night we got a word. It came through Evelyn. And she said, the enemy had intended to stagnate the waters here in this area. But I said, Lord, the waters will flow freely. Guess who the waters are coming out of? Guess who the waters are coming out of? You are in Christ. Christ is in you. The waters are coming out of you. That's why it was so powerful last night when we were singing, you know, down to the river, washed in the river, and the water, about the water flowing, because we had just gotten that word. That was the word that we were standing on. Yes, this may be small numbers here. We don't care. Because we know that the water within you is going to flow, it's going to go, it's going to mean something. Every issue that you have only means that you've got a better thing coming, and he's maturing you up to another level so you can be able to stand in that next level. You can be able to stand in that next level. So if we can look and change our mind and change our perspective about every issue that we have, just see it that he wants to bless you. See it as a blessing. Because we first have to believe in God, but then we have to believe that he's a good God. That he's good. That he's there to bless you. He's there to help you. He's there to help you every step of the way. He is a good father, and he wants you to lean on him. And he wants you to ask him. He even wants you to ask him everything that bothers you. Matter of fact, whatever made you sigh last night before you went to bed, you know those stress-relieving sighs, the big, long sighs. Think about that. That's the issue Daddy's trying to fix. That's the issue he has the answer to. That's the issue that he wants to grow you up in maturity. That's the issue, because on your next level, when you're in ministry, he can't take you there to hold the power that he wants to give you, because an immature person that has power, trust me, he's a wise God. You know, we all have a power in our lives. We all have a power called the Holy Spirit. But according to the power that is within us working, is the verse. According to the power within us that is working. So it's a constant grace upon grace upon grace, working, finding, knowing, learning, growing. Every issue is just a growing issue. Every issue is just a growing spurt. So if we can say, Lord, help me learn. Lord, help me learn. Lord, help me learn. You know, let me get through this quickly, because I don't want to go through around the mountain another time. Let's go take those giants. Yes, those giants are big. Yes, they are big, and they're scary. But you know what? The fruit is worth it. The fruit is worth it. The land is worth it. The people are worth it. And we don't do it by ourselves. None of it. You know, Romans teaches us that faith is a gift from God. We don't even muster up faith on our own. We don't even muster up belief on our own, you know. We have to continually stay in it. It's really, what I'm really saying is, it's not a visitation lifestyle anymore. He has awakened the church that we have stepped away from a visitation lifestyle, and we've moved into a relationship lifestyle. And we have got to hear. We've got to hear for our brother. We've got to hear for our sister. We've got to hear for everybody around us. And sometimes we have to hear personally for us and submit and just say, I have been part of that stagnation. And when that word came through, I was repenting because I felt like I had heeded to that stagnation that was trying to come into this area, because I was trying my hardest to find, you know, things, and they just were not coming through. And my attitude was not very pure, I will tell you. Not when you're in charge and you can't make things happen when you want to make things happen and it don't happen, and then you're just like, I quit. But you can't quit. It's like being in labor. You can, and point to hope, there is no quitting. You cannot quit labor. We're in labor. So, anyway, I'm confessing. We're not perfect. We are broken people. But I'm telling you what, if Daddy can use this broken vessel, he's got some very powerful plan for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. And you are not the people that deny the power therein. You are not. You are the people that are hungry, that come to these conferences, that hear from the Lord, that want to know the bits and the pieces that he has in store for him, because he says, I know the plans, and I've got another sign back here I'm going to give away. For those of you who don't know, I own a Work of Heart over there. We're sponsoring this event. And if you see decorations here that you like, it's over just across the street at the mall. So if I don't give you something, you know where to go. And of course, you've heard this. You guys have heard this. You've heard it over and over and over and over and over again in your life, right? For I know the plans I have for you, to give you hope and a future. And that's your guys's. To give you hope and a future, because there is hope in everything. It really is the key, because that's what the new perspective does. That's what the rejoicing does. That's what when you get into that relationship, that real relationship. I don't know how people do it without the Holy Spirit. I just shake my head and I think, do you know he tells me everything? You know, I have to go to him for everything. Every bad attitude, everything about Norris. not very often. Just, yeah, it's a short visit. Everything, a rehaul, everything, that relationship, constant. If I dare step over to that other side, that gloom, despair, and agony on me portion, it is very, very dangerous. And it's not just dangerous to you, it's dangerous to everybody that you love. And it is disgusting, and it is a disease. That's the way I look at it. Bad attitude, negative thought, bad talking is like a disease. It will kill you. You cannot afford to mess around with it. No longer. We have awakened to a relationship mentality. He teaches me what to do with that business. He teaches me. We're under great change in a Work of Heart, because we're realizing now that this modern day has went to, you cannot just put your stuff out on the shelf and hope for people to come in. And God does bring people in. Don't get me wrong. He brings people just to bless us. Thank you, Jesus. But there is a different marketing that's going on, and we're having to transition from a storefront store to an online store just to stay up with the modern day world, just to stay. And we have went through major rehauls just this year. Did I lean on Daddy for that? Because I don't know anything about marketing. I don't know anything about anything when it comes to, I wasn't raised in the computer generation. When I got my iPhone, it's like I felt like I was lost a few years ago. How do we, I know they make it user-friendly, but this doesn't seem very friendly to me, I'm sorry. So I had to go to the younger generation, basically, to help them teach me, to catch up. And that's kind of like Daddy. He's always teaching you that new thing, that fresh thing. And so he speaks to me about everything. He speaks to me about my own body, what I need to do. You need to quit eating that. Guess what? My faith walk would not mean anything in my belief if I didn't heed to what he had just told me, because the word that he had just told me is cut down on your sugar, because your swelling and your feet and the places I want to take you, I can't take you if you're abusing the situation. And so I have to listen. I have to, well, hopefully I listen. Sometimes I don't, you know. I have to stop eating things at night that I love to eat. And I have to get up and start doing something, which I'm perfectly happy just sitting and studying and kicking back in the chair, you know. But no, he's got different things planned, and it requires the faith walk. There's the difference. There's the belief. You get the word, but it still requires that movement, that faith that he's telling you to do. It's not always what you want to hear, by the way. Matter of fact, it hardly ever is. Some stuff is really fun. Most stuff that he tells you on a personal level is you have to rely on him to actually see you through it. So that each and every, you know, individual step that we go through is really a relationship, a relationship, a relationship, a relationship, and he's teaching you every step of the way. And so we're going to make it through this transition in business, and we're going to make it through this transition in ministry. And this area is being imparted with an awakening, a stirring, and yes, it is a remnant. Gideon, he took your army way down. You know the story. It is a remnant, but it's a good remnant. It's a good remnant. And it's good water. So let the Lord pour out water from you. Let the Lord pour it out, because there is so much within each and every one of you, especially the young ones. You have no idea what's in you. Open your mouth, Daddy says. Just open your mouth. And that's what I felt like today. I felt like I had nothing. I felt like I had nothing, but he just says, open your mouth. Just open your mouth to the little girl out on the street. Open your mouth to the guy in the wheelchair. Open your mouth when somebody comes to visit you in the store that has not been to church for years, but yet will sit there and cry because the Spirit of God is in your store and the music is hitting their heart like Daddy always does, and begins to call them back and pull them in. And when you begin to become aware of that situation and be a part of that situation, it's powerful. You are not denying the power that is within you. You are beginning to be the water that's working through it. And even if it's just a song, my gosh, sing it over them, you know? Even if it's just a poem, speak it over them. This guy's talented. He's writing poems now. He's doing things that we think we can't do, but Daddy's teaching him that this is going to be part of his ministry. So just do it. Step into that relationship thing. Do not logically sit there and think why you're not supposed to do anything that you hear from God. That is danger. Danger. Did you have something?
We all know the story of the blind man, blind baker, who was sitting by the side of the road. And in essence, he was praying. He knew Jesus was there, but he couldn't see him. And that's kind of like praying, because we know Jesus is here. And he was saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he kept yelling it out. And there was people around him telling him to be quiet. But he kept on praying. And then he heard someone say, Jesus is calling you. And he got up. He had to take action, and he headed towards the voice that had said, Jesus is calling you, and he had to go through all those people that were telling him to be quiet. But because he did those things, he got his healing. And it didn't come immediately. He had to take an action. Well, he had to take several actions. He prayed. And I'm just saying that, you know, when God, you know God is there. And when you know that he's calling you, you know that there's going to be some good results. That you're going to get what you're praying for. So, but he had to do some things, and he had to ignore those that were telling him to be quiet. So anyway, I just, the Lord impressed that on me. I just thought I needed to share.
Which was the ministry last night. That was the ministry last night. He's just re-highlighting it. Be the person that calls out. Be the person that knows he's there. Be the person that goes to that space and rests. Because honestly, you can't hear until you quiet this. You can quiet this. And sometimes, you know, pain quiets this. And daddy's even in the pain. Sorry to say that. Sometimes daddy will be right there in the middle of the pain. He goes, now. Now. You know, I didn't say he caused the pain. But he's right there in the middle of the pain. So be aware. Be aware. This is a relationship. This is not visitation. This is an ongoing, every day, every second faith walk that we have. Every second. And we don't get it right all the time. Shrug it off when you don't get it right. Step up again to the plate and say, Daddy, remove that dross. Let's pour out. Give me the gold. Remove the dross. Give me the gold. Because I am purified in you. I am pure in you. Moving on to that perfection. Moving on to that pureness. Because nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for those who believe the Word, which is a person, Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time for you to believe. Now is the time for you to step out in faith. Now is the time for the blessings. Now is the time to mature. Now is the time to open up the area of this ground and to plant those seeds, to plant those seeds of faith into somebody else. Now is the time. Now is the time to sing. Now is the time to preach. Now is the time to just be a servant and a friend, a good friend. Pick someone. You know, find that person that God wants you to love and just love them. Daddy, who can I love today? Who can I love today? Who can I be the Christ that nobody can see? How can I be the Christ for somebody else? How? And he'll show you. And he'll open the doors. And he'll open the doors for ministry. And he will use the talents that he's already given you. So if you prophesy, prophesy. If you serve, serve. If, you know, the whole Romans 12 thing. If you teach, teach. Right, Annette? If that's your gifting, teach. You can't pull the teach out of the teacher. I don't care where you place them. They're going to teach. I've seen Beth for years. She's just like, you can put her over there in some little area where there's nobody, and it's 9 times out of 10, there's a whole group there, and she's teaching them something. You know, you can't. If that is what the calling and the gifting is within you, let the Lord bless it in your way. Do you know that he loves every part about you? He has placed those things in there whether you think he did or not. And he's going to use every part, every gifting, everything, because he loves it within you. He loves your originality. He loves the way you are. He loves who you are. And let him use you. Don't try to be Nancy. Don't try to be Kelly. Don't try to be Norris. Let him use you uniquely, individually, and now is the time. And I think I'm pretty much done.